You know, there's been so much stuff propagated out there, so much fear released, so much delusion, and so many thoughts and so much stuff going on in this world, in this present world. And I see so many believers, you know, you really need to be, this is a time to really need to be dug into the Word of God. You've got to let that Word be your anchor right now, because there's a lot of deception going on out there. There's a lot of voices, all types of things happening. So you need to really hear the peace of God in your heart and life. Amen? So vitally important. And so we just want to really understand and know that. Let's all go ahead and stand back up this morning and turn over to Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 through 21. Matthew 17, 14 through 21, you find it, say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when he had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. They could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Wow. That was quite a statement. How long shall I bear with you? Looking at his disciples, bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Look at this next verse. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. You know, that's a good thing to do, right? So if you're corrected or if you need to go to somebody, go to them privately. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Why couldn't we cast him out? Why weren't we able to cast him out, Lord? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Last verse, 21. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Amen. Hold up your Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. Say it with Pastor today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to somebody this morning, give them a high five if you'd like to, and say, I'm blessed. How about you? Amen. I just want to talk to you a little bit about fasting and prayer this morning. And because as a believer, what happens often is fasting and prayer can become a work and not grace. And so fasting and prayer is very important. It's a part of our life. But we've got to have the right understanding of fasting and praying. For them to be effective, we've got to understand the difference between the old covenant law versus the new covenant of grace. There is a vast difference. And what happens so many times, and I was talking to somebody this past week, you know, they've come under grace, they've understood grace, they're getting the grace message, but they're saying it took me so long to get out of this legalistic thought. It's just a process of really getting out of some thinking that we've had, because we can get kind of caught up into some things. So under the law, prayer and fasting were all about earning something through self-effort. Under grace, it's all about casting out any unbelief we have and focusing on the finished work of Jesus. So with that in mind, our attitude behind prayer and fasting should be about releasing the power and the authority that God has already given us as believers. Through the atoning work of Jesus, the finished work of Jesus, we have power and authority, something that he's already done, already provided for us. So fasting and praying under the new covenant should be aimed at affecting our physical senses and bringing them back into line with God's word. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So let me say that again. Fasting and praying for us as believers should be bringing our senses into line with what God's word has already established. Because where we have the problem is in our five sense area, our emotional area, our feelings, our eye gate, our ear gate. And so what fasting and prayer really does is it lines us back up to kill the senses and to receive from the Spirit. So doing this enables us to consistently see the supernatural happening in our life. I want to see the supernatural consistently happening in my life. Anybody else? Anybody else want to see the supernatural, especially in this day? You know what? There is a lot of ways right now you can grow a church. There's a lot of ways. They've got programs out there. One's called ARC. It's an ARC program. And you know, there's nothing wrong with things. I'm all about things. But here's what I'm really about. I'm really about the supernatural operating within the body of Christ. Because I don't think it takes a gimmick or a handout, but I do think that people will respond when they actually see the supernatural, people being healed and the manifestation of the Spirit taking place. I believe people have a hunger to really see the, not the fluff, not the meringue, but the real supernatural of God operating through the believer's life on all levels. And I believe the Bible tells us that manifestation is waiting. All of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, of the children of God. The manifestation of the supernatural happening in our life when we walk even into a Walmart, that the Spirit of God is so permeating out of us that we can release life into people and people can be healed even at Walmart. Come on, somebody, amen. That blinded eyes are going to open up, that people are going to get out of wheelchairs, that walkers are going to drop, amen, that people are going to be delivered from, if they think they're Steve or Eve or whoever they might be, because of the grace of God on our life, the love of God in our life, and the supernatural happening within our life. People need Jesus. They don't need another gimmick or another pony and dance show. They need Jesus Christ. They need to know He loves them unconditionally where they are, and that love can absolutely set them free. And God needs us to be manifesting that wherever we go. Turn to somebody and say, He's preaching to you right now. Amen. So the disciples' faith and authority they had was disrupted by what they saw. The disciples' faith in the authority they had was disrupted by what they saw. This child's condition was due, evidently, to a demonic presence there. Now listen, every sickness comes from the enemy. But it does not mean that a person is possessed if they're sick. All sin and sickness comes from the enemy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But it does not mean that that person is demon-possessed or has a demon if they're sick. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19. I just got to go through this because this is just such a teaching that's going out in the body of Christ. I've dealt on it a little bit of it. I want to deal on it again. You as a born-again believer cannot absolutely 145, 50,000% be demon-possessed. Three amens. You as a believer. Look what Paul said. Or do you not know that your body as a believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you. Satan cannot dwell in the body of a believer. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And what all this demonic things that people attribute to the demonic is stinking thinking. Because their thinking has not been renewed to what they have in Christ, they allow their mind to just go haywire on stuff, allow all types of feelings to come in, all types of emotion, and when that happens, they all of a sudden think, well, I'm under the control of the devil. Well, if you want to be, you can be, but you don't have to be. Ephesians 2:7. Look at this. Ephesians 2:7. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me this morning? Hang in there. This is good. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his, what? Grace in his kindness towards us. Everybody say in. In. You know what? Jesus is in you. Do you know when God sees you, you know who he sees as a believer? He sees Jesus in you. He doesn't even see you. Whoo, that's a good thing. Turn to somebody and say, that's a real good thing. He doesn't even see you. You are hidden in Christ. You are in Jesus Christ. Therefore, the enemy cannot touch you where you are in him. Amen? And Jesus, when he was on this earth, he was 100% God. He was 100% man. But he died as a man. We are dead in Christ Jesus. But not only did he die, but he resurrected. We have life in Christ Jesus. Not only is he resurrected, but he's seated with the Father. Amen? We are seated with him in heavenly places. That is your position as a believer this morning. Hallelujah. You're at rest in him. And the enemy cannot touch you. You can open up your mind to the enemy. You can do stupid things and think stupid thoughts. But the enemy cannot touch your spirit, man. You've been sealed. Amen. When God sees you, he sees Jesus, and that's enough. The problem is people's minds not renewed, so self-preoccupation with self instead of Jesus will mess you up. Oh, come on, honey, help me preach. Amen. Self-occupation. We sometimes we get so caught up in us. Self-occupation, thinking about this, thinking about that, amen? Preoccupied with bad thoughts, preoccupied with failures, preoccupied with shortcomings. We need to be preoccupied with Jesus. We put our trust in him. The way out is to know when Christ died, you died. You're dead in Jesus, amen? But alive in him, amen? When he rose, you rose. Praise God. So Jesus was talking about the presence here in this story back in Matthew, talking about the presence of unbelief. He wasn't talking about a lack of faith, and there's a big difference between a lack of faith and unbelief. So we've already been given authority over demons. All authority has been given to us. We've been given authority over demons. Religion assumes that Jesus was referring to a demon that would not come out without prayer and fasting. That's what religion, when they look at this verse, that's what it says. Well, you know, this kind won't come out without prayer and fasting. And so people begin to say, you got to really fast and you got to really pray to get a demon out. No, you don't. You got to take your authority and exercise it. Amen? So to see any referring to a demon that would not come out without prayer and fasting, having to pray and fast first to see any results negates the finished work of Jesus and is not based on grace. It would be something we must earn, and Jesus meant that this kind of unbelief could only be dealt with through prayer and fasting, and that is far from the truth. It's nothing that we've earned. It's something we've already received. Matthew 10:1, and when he had come to the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. So the disciples, listen to me, the disciples had already been given authority to cast out demons, yet they were unable to do so with this boy who was possessed. And it boiled down to the issue of unbelief. Look at Matthew 6:13. Let me show you this. Matthew 6:13. I want to show you this. You need to understand this morning. And you need to know what we have, what we've got, and how to exercise what we have. Amen? Matthew 6:13. Amen? And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's go to Mark. I'm sorry. Mark 6:13. That's a good one. I love that one too. Lord's Prayer, right? Amen. It's all good. Lord's Prayer. Mark 6:13. Praise God. Amen. And they cast out many demons. Who? The disciples. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and did what? And healed them. So the disciples had a prior experience casting out demons. Jesus had certainly equipped them to do what they do. And part of my job as pastor here is to equip you to live a successful, victorious Christian life so you can go out and live victorious every day of your life and not be overcome by any negative thought, negative emotion, negative people, bad attitudes, Aunt Bertha, Uncle John, whoever it might be, so that you can overcome when things come against you. Part of my job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Amen, that you might go out into this world and live every day victorious in the love of God's grace and knowing, amen, that no matter what comes against you, you're going to overcome it because Jesus already has. Good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. Appreciate that. So Jesus equipped them prior to this experience. Jesus had certainly equipped them. He gave them a job. The disciples had trouble with this possessed boy because unbelief was there that triggered their five senses. When they saw this boy and the condition that he was in, unbelief came right in. So unbelief, listen to me, where does unbelief start? Write this down. Here's where unbelief starts. If you got a little note, just write this down because you might need this somewhere. You ready? This is going to be really profound, but I'm going to give it to you. Okay? Unbelief starts with your thought. Unbelief starts with the thought. So we cannot afford to let unbelief contaminate our faith. Jesus said in Mark 9:23-24, listen to what Jesus said, if thou canst believe, if you can believe, all things are possible. How many believe all things are possible? To who? To him who what? Him who believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my what? Help my unbelief. Our senses can get so adjusted to this present world and to what we see that automatically our thought life comes in and we start unbelieving instead of believing, right? So we can have faith and unbelief at the same time. It's situations that unbelief hinders our faith. So we know that unbelief is present when we give our attention to fear, worry, and care. Oh, just write that down. You need to write this down. We know. Here's the sign. How do I know, Pastor, if unbelief is present? When I give my thought life to fear, worry, and care. Turn to somebody and say, wow, he's really preaching to you right now. If I give my thought life over to fear, worry, and care, I'm not living in the rest that Jesus has provided. Oh, that's good preaching. Matthew 14:29-31. Our senses and thoughts can cause us to lose focus. Our senses and thoughts can cause us to lose focus. Our senses and thoughts, our feelings, nothing more than feelings, can cause us to lose such focus. Someone can come up to you and say something and cause you to lose focus. Amen? I want to tell you, church, we have got to be focused on Jesus. Our senses and thoughts can cause us to lose focus. Instead of giving our total attention on Jesus, we begin to look at the circumstances around us. We can get so preoccupied. Listen to me. How many know Pastor is a faith teacher? Come on. I'm a grace teacher. I'm a faith teacher. How many know that? I believe in faith. I'm gonna give you a statement. I don't want to shock you, but I want to give you a statement. We can get so preoccupied with our faith that I do not have enough faith. Why don't I have more faith? Why isn't my faith working? What kind of faith do I need? Jesus, give me more faith. Lord, what's going on with this faith I have? We can become so preoccupied with our faith that we lose focus. Matthew 14:29. I want to show you guys something here. So he said, this is Peter, said to Peter, waves were boisterous, everything was going on. Jesus come walking to them on the water, and here's Peter. And he said to Peter, Peter said, hey, Lord, if it's you, can I come to you? Right? We shared this a few weeks ago. What did Jesus say? Stay there, Peter. No, don't get out of the boat, bud. No, you're going to drown. What did he say? He said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he actually walked on the water to go to Jesus. Right? Wow. So let me ask you, was Peter looking at faith or was Peter looking at Jesus? Was Peter looking at faith or was Peter looking at Jesus? Come on, respond with me this morning. Was Peter looking at faith or is Peter looking at Jesus? Now, I know Jesus is faith, right? But who was Peter looking at? He was looking at Jesus. He wasn't looking at his faith. Peter wasn't obsessed with how much more faith can I get. He was obsessed with looking at Jesus. When you're obsessed with looking at Jesus, faith is the automatic response. Oh, my gosh. When you're obsessed looking at Jesus, faith is the automatic response. Because the word, faith cometh by the word, but who is the word? The word is Jesus incarnate. And when you look at Jesus, faith is the automatic response that you have when you look at him. And see, he saw. All of a sudden, he's walking, and all of a sudden, he saw the wind. I've never seen the wind. I've seen the effects of the wind. I've felt the wind, but I've never seen the wind. Isn't that amazing? He saw the wind. His senses came alive all of a sudden. It was boisterous. And what happened? The very first thing that happened, what comes in? What comes in with unbelief? Fear. And he began to sink, and he cried out and said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Thank God he got his focus back on Jesus or he'd have drowned. Amen. Lord, save me. Amen. So we can get so preoccupied trying to get more faith. And, you know, I've been in the faith movement. I'm a big proponent. I love so many of the stuff they teach and all of that. It's awesome. But I've come to the conclusion. I don't want to be preoccupied with anything but Jesus and his finished work, amen? Because he's given me everything there that I already need that pertains to life and godliness. And when I need faith, it's already deposited in me because I have Jesus, amen? Oh, come on, somebody. Look at Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. I want you to see this. This is so good. Looking unto whom? Who is who? Who is Jesus? Who's Jesus? Come on, who's Jesus? Somebody tell me out here. Who's Jesus? The author and the finisher of what? Of our what? Of our faith. Everybody's trying to get more faith to move mountains. It's not about getting more faith. It's about using what you've already got because you already got all the faith that you need when you focus on Jesus. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me show you this in the Amplified. I want you to see this morning. Look at this. This is so good. I want to encourage you this week because, you know, when you go through something, you might go through the bump in the road, you got to get your refocus back on the Lord. You got to get your thought life back on him. Amen. So looking away from all that will distract us. CNN, Fox, Biden, border, Corona. I thought of my Sharona. My. All this stuff that is really weighed so many believers down, has gotten so many people confused, has gotten so many minds messed up. People have absolutely lost their mind. I'm serious. Are you hearing me? Have lost their mind over all this stuff going on in the world right now. And it seems like there's a non-ending thing going on. But may I report to you that we do not live in this world. We have a kingdom that is outside of this world. We have a King, amen, of kings and a Lord of lords. His name is Jesus Christ. His name's not Biden or Trump or anybody else. Thank God for the serenity and the peace of Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the Prince of Peace. Distract us and focusing our eyes. I don't even believe it's this eye. I believe it's this eye in here. On Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith. Jesus is the perfecter of faith. We try to get faith perfected here on earth. We try to somehow get in some position, pray hard enough, fast hard enough, get somewhere where we can perfect faith so things can happen in our life. That is a works mentality. Amen? Jesus is the perfecter of our faith, the first incentive for our belief. I love that. And the one who brings our faith to maturity. Jesus does that for us. Amen? Who for joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his authority and the completion of his work. Unbelief taints our faith and makes us double-minded. And James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. So when we're single-minded, we receive from the Lord. When our focus is back on the Lord. And he said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the authority of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. So the disciples already had the power they needed to cast out the demon. What hindered them were their mental images stuck in their heads of the boy foaming at the mouth and falling down. So we must learn how to release what God has already given us versus in trying to get him to give us more. So we do not fast to get God to move. We know God already moved, right? Our motive for fasting, turn to somebody and say, everybody gets real excited when the pastor talks about fasting, right? Our motive for fasting, listen to you, our motive for fasting is to not move God, but to move our senses. Listen to me. When you eat, when you have a meal today, you know, all of our resources come from this earth. When you fast, when you set aside, you're breaking this natural bond of this earth. It is that natural food that keeps this natural body going. And so when you fast, God designed it, I believe, to do that. Pastor, are you fast? Yes, I fasted. I fast. I do fast. I have fasted. Have you fasted a long time? I have. 21 days, I fasted, so a long time. There's some reasons, but I want to tell you, fasting is not to move God. It's to get us to the place where we can just receive him and all that he has and all that we have within us. Amen? A fast brings our five senses under subjection to our spirits, and we cannot rely on carnal senses. Amen? The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. So we live out of faith and not out of our fear or not out of our senses or not out of what we see. You know, over in Habakkuk, where that verse is, in Habakkuk 2:4 says the just shall live by faith. If you look in the book of Habakkuk, the word Habakkuk means to cling, to hang on to grasp. And what was going on in the land as much as what is like going on in our land today, there was great havoc going on in the land. And Habakkuk had this revelation that the just have to live by faith. And I want to tell you, church, living by faith is much better when we know what we have. It causes us to rise above those circumstances and stay in peace. Habakkuk 3, 17, 19. Look at this. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. Habakkuk sounds like something you were delivered from. Thank you, Lord. I've been delivered from Habakkuk. Amen. Though the fig tree may not blossom. Listen to what he said. Though the fig tree may not blossom. This is faith life. Nor the fruit be on the vines. Though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields not yield, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, listen to what faith does. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Look at the next verse. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on my high heels. High heels. High heels? Got to think about that one a second, right? Amen. Not here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I love it. But he'll do that for us. When you're on high heels, ladies, I guess you see a little bit further, right? Amen. So, praise God. So, we can live in our physical bodies on every word God has spoken. And his word provides substance that will keep us alive. We must activate God's word and avoid being trapped by our own words. Words are powerful, can work for us or against us. Amen? And Jesus said, we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's when we're going through things, guys. We get our focus so steadfast on God's word. We get our focus on Jesus, amen. We don't allow our senses to move us off what we know, amen. And when we go through it victorious instead of giving in to circumstances or giving in to negative thoughts or what the enemy may say to you. Some of you got here this morning and the enemy's already talked to you, said you're not worth it, you're not going to make it. What's going to happen next week? What's going on in your life? I declare victory right now, amen. Hallelujah, that your thought life is Jesus' thought life. Amen? That everything he's provided for you, everything he's given for you, you understand you've got it in the Spirit already. It's already yours. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:22, for the words that God has, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. I declare health to all your flesh this morning, that there's no sick among us, no more COVID. Come on, somebody. Amen. Everybody walking in divine health. No more funerals. Thank you, God. Amen. No more death, no more dying, and complete total victory in him. Let's stand this morning. Let's give God some praise today. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you raise up your hands this morning and let's worship him a second today? Let's declare what we have. Thank you, Lord. My focus is on you, not on my circumstances, not on where I am right now, but on you. Thank you, Lord. I declare you are my victory in all areas of life. I have the victory of God. I have the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. You have God's peace this morning. Amen. You have God's faith in you. You have the fruit of the Spirit operating in your life today. Any contrary thought you can take authority over, you cast down that doesn't line up with God's word. Say, thank you, Lord, for my peace today. Thank you, Lord, you're my victory. Thank you, Lord, you're my purpose. Thank you, Lord, you're my focus. In Jesus' name. Listen to me. Don't be focused like a squirrel. You ever see a squirrel? He'll run out in the street and he'll look both ways, run back and get run over. Don't be double-minded, man. Keep your focus on the Lord. He's got good for you this week. It's going to be a great week in Jesus. You believe when you leave out of here, I'm leaving with purpose. I'm on assignment. God's got me to touch somebody else's life. But before you go this morning, there may be some new people around you. Say hello. God bless you today. Tell them to have a Jesus-filled day. Would you do that? Amen.